Turn in your Bible to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all, without reproach, and it will be given him. Here's a verse that tells us how to get wisdom, how to find wisdom, how to obtain wisdom. It begins with the realization that we need it, that we don't have it, or we lack it, or we're insufficient, and we need more wisdom. We need the wisdom of God. But where do we get it? How do we find it? Where is it located? This verse tells us. It tells us the source and how to get it. So this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's one of the verses that when I was in college, I prayed every day. I prayed this verse. I couldn't believe it was true. It was so good, I could not believe it was in the Bible. This was an amazing passage. You know, we look in the Bible for those promises, so we can claim them, and we can hold God accountable to these things. God, you got to do this. You said you would do this. Now do it. I'm looking for you to do this. In this verse, you can be a health and wealth and prosperity in your mind. You can name it and you can claim it. At least on this topic. This is the one you can say, hey, this is a guarantee. This is a certainty. I want wisdom. And God has promised to give it to us. He's promised to supply it to us. So how do we get it? Well, there are three things. Three things to do if you want wisdom. First of all, you need to know you need it. It begins with the phrase, any of you lacks wisdom. You know, it's pride and self-confidence that is the root of foolishness. Why are people so foolish? Why are they so incompetent when it comes to making discerning decisions? The reason people are so foolish is because they don't see their lack of wisdom. They don't realize they are foolish. People are fools, but foolishness is blinding. People who are fools don't know they're fools. And that's the problem. And the reason you're not wise is because you're prideful. The reason you're not more wise or have more wisdom is because there's still a lot of pride in your eyes. The Bible tells us, do not be wise in your own eyes. Do not think that you're a wise person. And if you really would think about this for a moment, all of us would be, well, I don't think I'm stupid. You don't think that of yourself. Well, and if you put a group of us together, I think I'm on the wise side of that group. Right? We all think we're wise. We do. That's why we're always critical towards everybody. Because we're wiser than they are. Right? Right? I mean, you're critical of this family, and you don't know 10% of what's going on in the family, but you have better judgment than they do. Right? I mean, wisdom is being able to take a whole host of information, a whole lot of data, a lot of data. And the more data you have, the more complex it becomes, and the more wisdom you need to sort through it. But you only know a few bits of that data, and you have more wisdom than those who are walking through it. Now, it doesn't mean that we can't see foolish actions when we see foolish actions. I'm not saying that. But we're prone to think other people in the church are less wise than we are. And that's not a good place to be if we want to be wise. We're not to consider ourselves wise in our own estimation. Proverbs 26:12 says, "Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him." You know, if you think you're wise when you're a fool, you're more hopeless than fools that know they're fools. At least a fool knows he's a fool. I mean, there are such a things as foolish people who goes, "I know I'm acting foolishly here. I need help." You see, pride, self-confidence is evidence of foolishness. Pride goes before the fall. I mean, if we were wise, we would run from pride. Because the Bible's given us a promise. If you're prideful, God's going to humble you. That should scare us to death. If we have any wisdom at all, we would seek to think, "Oh, I am lowly. I am nothing. I don't have any great wisdom of my own." We would think less of ourselves and think greater of other people. We would esteem other people more highly than we esteem ourselves. And that wouldn't be a fake. That would be honest. That would be a sincere feeling that we would have. Who am I among the saints of God? Pride is the feeling that Nebuchadnezzar felt when he was looking over his city. Look at the work that my hands have built. Look what I've accomplished. Look at my little kingdom that I've established. That's the feeling he had right before he turned into a cow. One of the wisest things my dad ever told me, it humbled me, but I needed to hear it. I was pseudo bragging about what was going on in my life, and he looked at me in the eyes and he says, "You're just one step from being a cow." And I knew he meant it. It's true. God can take your sanity away in a second. You think you're smart, do you? You're only held together by the grace of God. Your sanity is held together by grace. You're not anything to take great confidence in. Isaiah 5 says, "Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight." Woe to us. And when we begin to think we're wise, now we need wisdom, but we should never think that we have obtained it. We should never think that we are wise. We cease to be wise when we think we are wise. See, wisdom is not a lack of intelligence. Some of the smartest people on the planet are the greatest fools. I have spent some time studying the great philosophers of Western history. Put the smartest names you can. Put the 50 or the 100th smartest, most brilliant thinkers throughout history. Put Plato, Aristotle. Put Nietzsche, Immanuel Kant, Spinoza. Put these guys. They're the greatest fools that have ever lived. Plato believed in pantheism. Aristotle was a deist. All these philosophers didn't believe in a personal God. God has written his name in the stars. He has revealed himself to all men. All men know that there is a personal God, but these great men have rejected what even kids believe. They are the great wise men of the world? No. God is bringing the wisdom of this world to nothing, he says. The Bible says that it's the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is what's missing in the great philosophers of the age. I mean, the great thinkers in the world believe in evolution. They believe the world came out of nothing, by nothing. An absurdity. And they pass it on as if it's just a fact. It's folly and foolishness. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 1, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the discernment of the discerning. I will thwart." Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? That's all these great philosophers. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God that the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. We don't need to engage with philosophers in the deep mysteries of how the universe came into being, or to debate the great debates of the one and the many, or the debates about epistemology and ontology and ethics. All these things are not what's going to bring people into the kingdom of God. For God has assigned that the foolishness of the preaching is what saves sinners. The Bible says, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were noble birth. But God has chosen what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God has chosen what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing that are." You see, if you want wisdom, don't look at the great schools, the great universities of this land. Not going to find it there. Don't look at the great philosophers and scientists. You're not going to find wisdom there. Wisdom has nothing to do with your IQ level or your memory or how many books you've read. That doesn't determine wisdom. You see, this text is couched in the midst of suffering. Rejoice when you face all types or various types of trials. And what are we to do? We're to rejoice in trials and we're to endure in trials. And this gives us the third thing we're to do. We're to pray for wisdom. Because it's the trials of life that shows us our foolishness. See, we're not seeking the Lord. We're not asking God for wisdom. When's the last time you asked God for wisdom? The reason you haven't asked God for wisdom lately is because you think you've got it all figured out. And when all life is going well, when everything is smooth, everything is going according to plan, just as you planned it, you're feeling pretty confident in your scheming, in your planning, in your retirement plan. Everything is going just fine until a chaotic moment hits, when a trial breaks out, when some form of suffering hits you, then you realize, then you come to terms that you don't know what to do. You're like, I just don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this. I don't know if I should do this or should I do that. Should I make this decision or withhold? And you become kind of incompetent. You become where you're unable to move. You can't make a decision because you get so stagnant with fear. And you realize, I just don't know how to handle this. I love the story of Jehoshaphat, one of my favorite Old Testament kings. I love when he's surrounded by the Amorites, the Gibeonites. He's surrounded by a great army. And they're just a tiny nation by this time. And they don't have an army to compete with a great army surrounding them. And so what does Jehoshaphat do? He goes to the Lord in prayer. He says, for we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do. Is that how you feel? I just don't know what to do. You know, someone's suffering in your life, or you got a family member that you want to help, but you're like, I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. I like how he ended his prayer. But our eyes are on you. Well, actually, Jehoshaphat did know what to do. Not to trust in himself. To look to God. Do you lack wisdom? Do you? You're in a good place if you do. If you recognize that you're not capable of making wise, discerning decisions. I need help, dear God. You're in a good place. Because if you want to be wise, it begins with humility. That's where it begins. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Romans 12 tells us in verse 16, do not be proud, but enjoy the company of the lowly. Do not be conceited. You've got to look to the wisdom that comes from above. And that's where true wisdom comes from. Not from a textbook. It comes from above. James 3 says, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works, or let him show his wisdom in meekness. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exists, there will be disorder in every vowel practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You see, the fruits of wisdom is humility. And the beginning, if you would, of wisdom is humility. If we're going to be wise, we must not know that we are wise. We must not think that we are wise. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. With humility comes wisdom. I want to be wise. Lower yourself. Humble yourself before God and before your neighbor. Proverbs 4:7, the beginning of wisdom is this. I love this verse. The beginning of wisdom. Okay, where's the beginning of it? Where does it start? How do you get on this train? I want to start becoming wise. Where's the first step? The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. What does that mean? It means you got to know you need it. You got to go pursue it. You got to know you don't have it. It's not looking to your own wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. It goes on to say, be not wise in your own eyes. Look to God. I want to be wise. I want that. I need wisdom. Come down. Come down. Come down from your high horse. You're not that wise. You may be smart. You may have a good education. You may be able to figure out complex math equations. Good for you. But if you're not humble, you're not wise. Second thing you need to do, ask. I love how simple this is. Ask God. Ask God for wisdom. I can do that. Even a fool can do that. That's not hard. Look at verse 5 says, let him ask God who gives generously to all. A fool looks to himself. A wise man looks to the wisest man. Now imagine that. You may have a little bit of wisdom, but if you had any wisdom at all, you would find the wisest person in the room to go consult with. Right? That would be wisdom. You wouldn't take your little wisdom and say, that's sufficient, I can make this. No, if you were wise, you go, who's the wisest person I know? And let me tell you who he is. Jesus Christ. So don't look to yourself. Look to the wise man. The one who's wiser than Solomon. Christ Jesus. After knowing we lack wisdom, the second thing we're to do is ask God for it. Now, why should we ask God? Why not just get in our textbooks and what about just going through life and experiencing? Well, some things you just have to experience. You have to learn it through your own defeats. It's sad that we have to learn it through our own defeats and failures when we have wisdom that could have prevented the failure. You go through the book of Proverbs. Where does it say, son, I would like to tell you how to be wise in this world, but you're not ready for that. You're just going to have to experience for yourself. And maybe when you're 60 or 70, you can have some wisdom. No, 60 and 70 and 80-year-olds are still fools. And they're going to be 18. I know younger people than you who are wiser than you. I know you don't want to hear that. Well, I've got the gray hair. It doesn't matter if you have gray hair. If your life is a wreck, you're in your fifth marriage. You're continuing to make one mistake after another mistake. It doesn't matter how old you are. My son, listen to wisdom. Don't fall into sin. Heed instructions. You can have it when you're young. Kids, start praying for this now. Don't wait till you're old to look for wisdom. And if you're old, it's time to get it now. You don't have to experience to find it. You can just ask for it. That's what it says. But you gotta want it. I mean, you'll pay thousands of dollars to get a good education, but little to ask for wisdom. And what is the greatest thing that God, other than salvation in Jesus Christ, who is wisdom, by the way, other than that, what is the greatest thing the Bible tells us to seek after? It doesn't tell us to seek after gold and silver. It doesn't even tell us to go get a great education. It doesn't tell us, parents, you know, what you need for your kids is for them to be raised up and get a good job and a good career. It doesn't tell us that's what they should seek for. Does it? The Bible says, how much better to get wisdom than gold? You need a good job so you can make gold. You can get money. No, how much better is wisdom than money? To get insight rather than silver. Proverbs 3:13, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire can compare with it. Nothing you want is greater than wisdom. Do you understand that? And you're fools for looking for something more than wisdom. You're a fool because you would rather anything else but wisdom. But if you're wise, if you have any wisdom, it begins with seek wisdom. If you have any wisdom, I want more wisdom. That's what I need. That's what God values. Nothing can compare to her. Long life is at her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all of her paths are peace. She is the tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold fast are called blessed. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:8, the one who gets wisdom loves life. Now imagine you're Solomon. You know, Solomon goes to sleep and God appears to him in a dream and God gives him what we all would love to have, a magic wish. Now, this is no make-believe genie where you rub on a lamp and here comes a fictitious cartoon character that says, I give you three wishes. This is the living God coming to Solomon and said, ask what you want, anything you want. Let your imagination go wild. Whatever you want, I'm going to give it to you. What do you want, Solomon? I mean, he could ask for the moon. I'll take the world. I'll take gold. I'll take silver. I'll take pride. I'll take the world and all the vanity of it. What does he ask for? I mean, he had this amazing opportunity. Can you believe it? Don't you wish God would come to you and say, young man, young woman, I'm going to give you a wish? Don't you wish you had Solomon's opportunity? Don't you? Ask, he says in the text, ask for whatever you want me to give you, God told Solomon. Anything. If you had one wish from God, what would you wish for? Right now, one wish, what would you wish for? I pray you have enough wisdom to ask the thing that Solomon asked for. I'll take wisdom, please. Let me tell you something so glorious it's hard to be true. That same promise he gave to Solomon, he gives to you. Now, he didn't say anything you want. He narrows it down to the greatest of all things. If any of you lacks wisdom, and ask for it, I will give it. The Bible says, though it cost you all that you have, get understanding. And it's something God is promising you. It's something that's promising. He's like, well, maybe that's for Solomon or for pastors or for missionaries or for you got to get a certain age in the Christian life before you get that promise. Now, what does it say? Let them ask God who gives generously to all. That's to you. That's you. Housewife, child, man, woman, older person, young person, that's to you. The greatest of all things. He's like, this is more than gold, more precious than silver, more valuable than life. In fact, if it costs you everything, you should want this. And here, it's a free gift. Can you believe it? No, you don't believe it because you haven't been asking for it. You haven't been seeking it. It's so easy to get. It's there for the taking. It's like, it's just a bunch of wisdom just for the looking. He's like, God's up in heaven. He's like, I got all this wisdom. I'm just trying to disperse it. But no one wants it. Why ask God? It's because it's a free gift. You don't have to enroll into the greatest of the universities to find it. You don't have to sit under the philosophers. It's something that comes from God, and it's free. It comes from above. It says in Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. It comes from the Lord. He's the one who gives and withholds wisdom. It's not anywhere else in the world. There's only one source of it. There's only one fountain of wisdom, and it comes from God. And he gives. It's the best investment of your life. I mean, an investment, you have to pay something. This one's a free gift. Just ask for it. The reason, fourthly, you should ask God for wisdom is because he likes to give it generously. He's not stingy. Now, think about Solomon. I mean, he went for the jugular. It's like, I'm going to think of the greatest thing I need. I mean, I'm not going to ask for gold and silver. That's cheap and easy to get, for God at least. That's going to perish. It's like Solomon knew, he had enough wisdom to go, I don't want to ask for a fish. I want to know how to catch fish. I don't want to ask for something that's temporary for the moment. I want to ask something that's going to be enduring. And when he asked, you know, it's like God was like, oh, you asked well. You asked good. Okay, I'm going to give you that and everything else. He's so generous that he flows it on us. You think, well, I'm going to ask God for wisdom. He might sprinkle a little bit on you. He may just give you, okay, all right, I'll depart. I'll give you some. No, he's like, where's the water holes? Let me turn it on high. Holy Spirit, pour out wisdom upon this poor soul. Flood wisdom down on that person. He gives generously. He doesn't give like you and I do. When you give to the church, you start contemplating what you can do with the money. And you're going, like, I can't give that much. You start talking yourself out of giving generously. You reallocate your gift back to yourself. God, I mean, you ask and it's like before it's out of our mouth, he's like, okay, here you go. I'm not waiting here. I'm very generous here. He wants to give us wisdom. He wants us to be wise. We only need to see our lack and ask. You should say to yourself, God, I'll take some of that wisdom, please. In fact, give me a whole bunch of it. Be generous, dear God. Pour it out on me. I don't know how to maneuver. I don't know how to go in and out. My life is too complicated. Life is too hard and difficult. I don't know how to handle this problem. Oh, Lord, give me insight. Give me discernment. Give me wisdom. Fifth reason you should ask God is because when you ask, he doesn't find fault in you. He gives it generously to all without reproach, without finding fault. The reproach, that word reproach is used in Mark 16:14, where Jesus reproached his disciples. After he rose from the dead, it says, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at a table, and he reproached them or rebuked them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. It's like, you have little faith. You'd heard that I rose from the dead. I told you I was going to rise from the dead at 3 days, and I'd be coming back up. I told you this. You were told that I was resurrected, and you did not believe. You little faith. He's reproaching them. He's like, man, you should be better than this. But when you ask for wisdom, God's promised to not scrutinize you. He's promised not to look you up and down and go, what is one reason that I don't want to give to you? Now, I see the same beggar. I want to call him a bum, but that seems pretty bad. The same bum at the intersection when I go home every day. They have a success schedule that they get on. And it's like the same guy every day. And when I drive past him, I have all kinds of reasons why I don't want to give to him. I was like, you're working harder here than you would if you went and got a job. You're an able-bodied person. Go get it. I mean, you're working hard here. You're in the rain. You're in the sunshine. This is difficult. Why are you doing? And I don't have a heart. My heart doesn't really go out for him, this one particular guy in particular, because I'm reproaching him. He's asking me for money, But I'm not giving him, if I did give him something, it wouldn't be generous giving. Because I got reasons to find fault in him. I got reason to be suspicious. Why are you doing this? Right? Now, God doesn't treat you that way when you ask God for wisdom. You're a beggar on the side of the road, and you're just going to go, God, I'm sorry, I need wisdom. I don't have it. I could use some. And you're just like a little bird looking up. It's like God, and God doesn't go, well, how long does it take? You've been through so many difficulties and so many failures. I just don't feel like helping you out this time. I know how you've handled things in the past. I'm just going to hold it back. You're going to have to squirm a little bit longer. You're just going to have to go without. That's not this text, is it? That's not this promise. I don't know hardly any promises that are like this. That if you ask, God's going to give it to you in a lot. He's going to give you a lot of it. He's going to be generous. And when you do ask, he's not going to find a reason not to give it to you. He's like, oh, sure, I'll give you wisdom. I'm not looking for any reason to hold it back. In fact, that's why you need wisdom. Because you've been foolish. You've been prideful. You've been squirming around not knowing what to do. I'm glad you asked. I've been waiting for you to come. And now that you're here, here you go. And this brings me to the sixth reason. I like this last phrase. Why should you ask? Because it's a guarantee. Do you understand that? Do you believe that? I mean, and it says, and it will be given him. Ask, and you will receive. That's a certainty. God does not lie. He cannot lie. If he says it, he's got to do it. So when you ask, oh, God, I need wisdom. Now uphold your promise to me. And you'll receive it. You might receive it. You may receive it. You don't have to hold your tongue just right and carry yourself just particularly. No, if you ask and you want, if you seek, you will find. You will receive wisdom that you need. Consider it done. This is one of the most glorious promises. Name it and claim it. Get your wisdom here. It's free. What is wisdom? You can say, well, wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. Then that it is. Not just knowing what to do, but knowing how to apply the knowledge properly, skillfully, under the right circumstances. Wisdom is discernment and understanding. It's right judgment in complicated situations. Remember Solomon and his wisdom? Two women, one lost her child and the other one had a child and she stole that child and they start fighting over whose child it is. Now, how is Solomon supposed to know whose child it belongs to? So he's in this court case. And how does he decide? Well, he uses wisdom. He uses discernment. Remember the wisdom of Christ, the greatest and the wisest of all people? Every day he was stumped with a question that would trip him up, but he's able every occasion to say something properly to get out of the situation. That's not just making up something. He's discerning and wise and able to take those who are disputers and debaters and trap them in their own words. But what is wisdom? I want to say it begins with humility, but maybe we could say wisdom is this: the fear of God. Job 28:28. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to turn away from evil is understanding. Proverbs 2:2. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 8:13. For the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way. What is wisdom? Not fearing man, but fear God. Fearing God. To knowing the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom. Once you fear God, it changes everything about the way you live. How you conduct your business, how you spend your money, how you spend your time, what you do with your life. It changes everything. It's why wisdom affects your everyday life. And for you who do not know the Lord, and you say, hey, I want to be wise. You know, where does it begin? With the fear of God. Know that you're under his wrath. Know that he's going to put you in hell. Know that you have an eternal soul that you're going to lose. If you want any wisdom at all, come in humility and bow to God now. For he's given you a promise like this promise. He'll give you wisdom if you come to the Lord in submission and surrender your life to him and say, Lord, I am yours. Teach me your fear. I am sorry for my sins. If you come to the cross through the death of Jesus Christ, you have this promise. As certain as God will give you wisdom, God will give you salvation. He will deliver your soul from hell. This is where wisdom begins. It begins with salvation, with humbling yourself before the mighty hand of God. No longer walk in your ignorance and your foolishness and folly. Bow down to wisdom. Surrender yourself to Christ. Now, the third thing you need to do if you get wisdom. Know you need it to ask. Now, I'm not going to expound this because this is next week. But you got to believe it. Verse 6 says, but let them ask in faith, not doubting. The reason if you ask God and you don't get it, the reason you don't get it is because you just simply don't believe. You have not because you ask not, but when you ask amiss. Because you're not asking in faith. Whatever is not of faith is sin. You've got to believe. Truly, in this promise, you've got a promise. It's not asking for a new car. God's not giving you a promise. If you ask for a new car, you get a car. You can't name it a new car and claim it. That's foolishness. You can ask for salvation. You can ask for wisdom. And you've got to believe it. And if you don't, you should not expect to receive it. You're going to carry on in your foolishness. If you're going to ask God anything, you must believe him. This is my salvation is by faith. He said, well, how do I know that he's going to save me? Because he's given you his word. What more do you need? He can't lie. Do you believe that? You can be saved today. You can have wisdom today. You can have it as free gifts. Praise God. May we take this and be wise and go, that verse, if I'm wise at all, I'm going to believe that verse. I'm going to live off that verse. I'm going to pray that. I'm going to expect. In fact, I'm going to be certain that God's going to give it to me. What a wonderful thing. I can't get over it, actually. I'm actually having a hard time expressing how amazing this is. So let's pray for it right now. God, as a church body and every one of us, and at least that are by faith praying this same prayer that I'm praying in their heart, Lord, we ask for wisdom. Give us wisdom as an elder board. Give us wisdom as deacons. Give us wisdom as mothers of the church. Give us wisdom as fathers of the church, as children of the church, as members of the church. Lord, give us wisdom as a church body. Let us be a wise and discerning church with the fear of God and humility that would characterize us as a body. Lord, help us to shun evil and hate foolishness and love that which is good and more precious than silver or gold. We want wisdom, dear God. We ask for it. Thank you for this precious promise. You're too good to be true, but you are true. And this promise is so dear to us. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen.